Hello, everybody, and welcome to Author. I'm Bill Knauer. We're here to talk about writing and life because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org. We are also funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. To learn more about the PNWA, go to pnwa.org. pnwa.org. Yes. I will be at the Chanticleer Writers Conference up in Bellingham, Washington at the end of April. Don't know what I'll be teaching yet, but I know I'll be there. So I've heard rave reviews about this new conference. It's more of a conference about the business end of the writing world. So if you're going to be there, if you plan to go there, say hello if you see me. You know, I'm going to do something a little different today, like I did last week, called Author to Author. But the two authors today are going to be me and you. Now, I'm going to be talking about fearless writing today, a little crash course in fearless writing. But I would love to hear from you. If you want to join the conversation, if you're listening live, I know many of you listen in archive, but if you're listening live, you can reach me at 661-449-9357. That's 661-449-9357. And I'd love to hear from you. But I'm going to talk about fearless writing today. Fearless writing. I believe that if you want to write, if you love to write, meaning it's something you would do whether anybody paid you to or not. And every single writer I know, and I know a lot of them, all different skill levels, every writer I know would write whether they were being paid to or not. This is true of every writer. This is simply how they communicate with themselves and the world. Every writer I know, in fact, doesn't know what they know until they write it. Writing is how we learn what it is we really know, what we really believe. So if you love to write, if you're one of these people who loves to write, the only thing that can really stand between you and the writing experience you want, whether that's finishing the book you want to write or publishing a book you've written or having it support you financially, the only thing that can really stand between you and that experience is fear. Fear. That is it. And may seem like there's a lot of other external obstacles that you have to get over to have these experiences, but I've spent the last 10 years or so talking to writers about writing. I've spent all my life writing, and I've come to the conclusion that fear is really the only obstacle, just fear. And that's because we're not really talking about writing. I call it fearless writing, but it's really fearless authoring. This is author to author. And the difference between writing and being an author is very simple. The writer is simply communicating on the page, but the author, through words on the page, but the author wants to share what he or she has written with other people. That's, people go to writers' conferences. They go to authors' conferences. I'm the editor of Author Magazine. I have written a book called Write Within Yourself, an author's companion. This is author to author. It's all about, the whole reason there's any challenge to this experience at all, is those other people with whom we want to share our work. And that's the great part, too. The sharing's the great part and the source of all our fear. Those other people whom we need. But if we think about for even a moment during the writing process, we become lost. It is a kind of yin-yang experience. We write for other people. We write to be understood by other people. We write to share our ideas with other people. But if we think about those other people, and what they would like or what they wouldn't like, and whether there is a market, quote unquote, for what we've written, which is another way of thinking about other people. If we think about them while we write, we become lost. And we know the mother of all writers' fears, that what we love is not loved by others. That what we find interesting is not interesting to other people. That what we think is smart is not smart to other people. This is it, really. I've kind of made a study of writers' fears. And while it takes many different shapes and forms, people worry about money, about survival, they worry about relevance, sales. But it all comes down to that. Other people, and what do they think of our work? That is the baseline fear. Now, the good news is, if you have ever written, if you've ever had an experience of sitting at a desk and just forgetting about what time it is, forgetting about your loved ones, your friends, maybe your job, and just sinking into the dream of whatever you're writing about, whether it's a novel or a poem or an essay or memoir or nonfiction narrative, whatever the book it is you're writing, if you've ever had the experience of sinking into this dream and seeing it and hearing it and imagining it, and if you've ever had the experience of becoming lost in that flow of thought and imagining, you've written fearlessly. In fact, writing really can't begin until we forget to be afraid. The two experiences are incompatible. That's the good news. If you've written, you have written fearlessly. That is the way writing happens. And that dream I'm explaining, that I was just describing, that flow, what I call the flow, what others have called the flow, that experience of when, again, you enter into that dream of thought and you lose track of time. It's the first thing that happens. You lose track of time. And it might only be maybe in your writing session. Maybe it only happens for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, or maybe it happens for the whole 2 hours. Maybe you're in and out of it for the whole 2 hours. And it's a wonderful experience. Again, you lose track of time. You don't think about the past, even if you're writing about the past. You're not worrying about it. You're reimagining it. That's very different. And you're not certainly not worrying about the future, and you forget to check what time it is. And if you do look up at the clock, you often are surprised at how much time has passed. And so you lose track of time, but you also lose track of the concept of good and bad. This is true. When you're in that flow of thought, you lose track of good and bad because there's only what belongs in your story and what does not. That is different than good and bad. There's just what belongs and what does not. Right and wrong, good and bad, don't exist within that flow, within that garden of creation. There's no comparison in that flow either. There can't be. There's only what belongs and what doesn't. So the whole concept of time, of before and after, of good and bad, of right and wrong, all gone within that flow of creation. It's really the best experience you can have. It can get no better. I've never experienced better. I've experienced it in other places besides writing, but it just doesn't get any better than that. Well, if you've ever experienced that, that is what fearlessness feels like. That's it. It's not that complicated. That's what it is. So the question isn't whether we can do it. The question isn't whether you can do it. The only question is whether you can do it on purpose. Can you do it on purpose? Because anyone can enter that state. It's true. I've read passages from letters people wrote during war to their loved ones that read as beautifully and as eloquently and vividly and honestly and clearly as anything a professional, quote, professional novelist would have written. If you had told me it was a letter a bombardier flying in World War II that I once heard read had been extracted from a memoir or even a beautiful literary novel about World War II, I'd have believed you, but it wasn't. I remember I saw it on a documentary about World War II, and this fellow reading a letter he had written back to his beloved. And it read, again, as eloquently as any novel I could imagine. But he wasn't a writer. He would go on to become an engineer. It's just that the war and death and the intense experience of life had so kind of put a gun to his head in a way, and he was able to express this in a letter. And he maybe never did it again. But anyone can do it. But the question is, if you want to be a writer, you want to do it deliberately. You want to get there on purpose, and you want to be able to enter that zone on purpose. And you can. And so I have here three what I would call techniques, focusing tools, if you will, to keep your attention where you need to be. I think of fearlessness, if you've ever heard me talk, you know I love this metaphor. I think of it like balance, the way you find your balance. You can't find fearlessness like a point on a grid, like a point on the map. It's not a room in your house. You have to find it with every, just like I have to find my balance with every single step I take, I have to find fearlessness with every choice I make, with every thought I think, to stay in that flow. And so these are the three tools I've come up with to focus my attention, so to speak, on the balance beam I'm trying to cross as I write, to keep my attention away from wondering, what will other people think of this? That simple question, what will other people think of it? As soon as I ask that question, I'm spit right out of that flow, because I don't know the answer. So speaking of questions, that's my first tool, my favorite two questions. What do I want to say, and have I said it? What do I want to say? You know, it is a little, I have to admit, what do I want to say? Maybe it's not totally accurate. What am I really interested in? What would I love to share? What do I want to say? What am I interested in? What am I curious about? Because often we write to really learn what we're going to say, but what am I interested in? What would I like to share? And that question, what am I interested in, can take the form of what should happen next in the story, who should my character fall in love with, how could I capture what it was like to grow up in Providence in the 70s, how should I begin this poem? The question could take many forms, but the essence of it is, what am I interested in? This is such an important question because, first of all, it directs our attention to our curiosity, and nothing is as personal to us as our curiosity. There's nothing we know better than what we're interested in. You can't possibly know anything better than what you're interested in. You can't be argued out of what you're interested in. What you're interested in is so inherent to who you are, and you will never be able to leave your attention in one place longer than when that attention is on something you're most interested in. The musician who becomes a concert violinist is so interested, not just being on stage in front of thousands of people at Carnegie Hall. No, it's the feel of the strings under her finger, what the violin feels like under her chin, the sound as it radiates in the air and through her body. That experience is interesting to her, and that is what keeps her practicing, and that is how she becomes good at what she's doing, her interest. Well, same is true for you. You will never write as well as when you're interested in what you're writing about. What am I interested in? What do I want to say? Not what does anybody else want me to say, but what do I want to say? That's the first question. What do I want to say? What am I curious about? And I will tell you, it requires a level of self-acceptance to value that question, because you know everybody is curious about something. And you know everybody in the world has a curiosity that guides them. But by focusing, by saying to yourself, that's enough. What am I curious in? What am I curious about? By accepting that that is enough reason to focus all your attention on something, you are accepting that you and your imagination, you and your curiosity are enough. You're accepting that simply being interested is enough to lead you somewhere. You don't need more proof beyond that. What am I interested in? And then, what do I want to say? And have I said it? So you have this idea come to you and it pops into your head. Ooh, I want to write about Kung Fu pirates. That sounds so cool. And so you begin to write. And images come into your head and you translate them into words. And then you look down, you read those words, and you say to yourself, have I said it? I've written here accurate? Is it accurate? Does it represent what I saw in my imagination? Is it as interesting as what I imagined? Is it as cool as it feels to me when I imagine it? Or do I need to take this out or put something else in? Does this accurately capture what it is I meant to say? Have I said it? This question, have I said it? Is it accurate? Replaces the question, is it any good? I reject the concept of what we call good writing. I know why we use it, but good writing is just code for writing that everybody likes, really. And no such writing exists. Is it any good? It's just code for what will other people think of it, and you don't know. Is it any good? You can't answer it. There is no measurement of good writing. There is no liquid I can dunk a story I've written into and have it come out like a pregnancy test. Yes, it's good. There's no way to measure something empirically for quality of writing. I can't answer whether it's any good, but I can answer if I have said what I wanted to say. Is this as profound as it felt to me when it came to me? I can answer that question, and I can answer the first question. I can answer, what do I want to say? And I can answer, have I said it? There's no fear within either of those questions or answers because I have access to the answers to both those questions. I can always know what I want to say. I can always ask the question, what am I interested in? And if I ask it sincerely, an answer will come. I'm always interested in something because I'm alive, and so are you. If you wouldn't be here if you weren't interested. Now, whether you value that interest or not is something else, but you are interested. That's why you're here. And only I, because the thing I'm interested came to me inside my mind and appeared in my imagination, no one else could see it. Other people can tell me if they get it, if they're interested in it, if they think it's funny or profound, but they can't tell me if I have accurately translated what came to me in my mind, because in my mind they can't see it. Only I can see it. So that's why I asked the question, is this what I meant to say? Is it accurate? I can answer that question. And sometimes I see that it's accurate and I go, you know, it is what I want to say. And now that I read it, I don't think I want to share it. It's not all that I thought it would be. That happens all the time. We have ideas, we write them down, you go, no, I don't know. It's not what I thought it would be. Just like starting a job, you think, yeah, it's a good idea, but something else. That's okay. Sometimes you think, yep, this is it, and I want to share. So that's my first tool. What do I want to say, and have I said it? This gets rid of all the questions. What other people think about it? What will other people think about it? What will they think about it? What will my agent think about it? What will my writing group think about it? What will my class think about it? Is there a market for it? What will the reviewers think of it? As soon as you ask those questions, you're out of the flow. As soon as you ask those questions, you will be in fear and out of the flow. If you find yourself asking any other question other than what do I want to say and have I said it, you are not writing. It's not happening because you're asking yourself questions you can't answer, and so how are you going to write? So that's my first tool. My second one is faith. You got to have faith. Now, faith simply means believing in something that you can't see or prove. This is critical for a writer for two reasons. You don't get to prove. If you're interested in something, the only proof that you have that this thing is worth sharing with other people is the fact that you're interested in it, your evidence. You think it's cool, that you wanted to tell that story, that you think it's sexy, that you were moved by the idea behind it. That is your evidence. Your evidence that what you have, that what you've written is worth sharing with the rest of the reading, but just the rest of the breathing human population, is the fact that you were interested in it. That's it. That has to be enough. You don't get the reviews, the sales, the contracts. All of that will come later. But before all that comes, there is just the faith that what you're interested in can be interesting to other people. You can't write that. You cannot write what you want to write unless you do have faith in that. You can't finish it unless you have faith in it. If you're waiting for some external validation, it ain't going to come. And even when it does come, even if you do finish a book and everybody loves it and everybody buys it and the reviews are good, on and on and on, then the next book comes, and really all that, it's not of use to you anymore. All that's in the past, and you got to start from scratch again because this is a new book. And once again, you have to start with that basic question, am I interested? And is that enough? Because this is a new story. And what people liked yesterday, they may not like today. Or what folks, the fact that someone liked the thing you wrote yesterday does not mean that they will like what you wrote today. The only thing you have is the fact that you're interested in. The only thing you have is the fact that you would like to write it. But, you know, I will tell you, you practice this every single day as a writer, because as a writer, you sit down and all you do is believe in things that don't exist. The only way to write is to sit there and believe in this story in your imagination as if it's really happening. And really, if you're honest about the experience of writing, while you're lost in that flow, while you're lost in that dream, just like when you're lying in bed dreaming, the dream is real. Oh, there's my dead grandmother, and she's talking to me, and she's driving a tank. Why is she driving the tank? I shouldn't be in the tank, but I am in the tank. Boy, this is just what a tank is like. That's more real to you than the bed you're sleeping in. That's the reality of dreaming. Well, it's the same thing in your stories, isn't it? While you're lost in the dream of that story you're telling, it is more real than the chair you're sitting in. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I've got someone on the line who I'm going to ask him if it's true for him. Jeffrey, is that you?
It is, Bill. Wonderful, wonderful. I learn from you every time I hear you speak.
Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey. Do you ever have that experience of when you're writing along and it's going great and you become more, your attention is perhaps more trained on the physically unreal dream of the thing you're writing than the physical surroundings in which you are writing it? Do you understand the question?
Absolutely, I do. Absolutely. It's analogous for me when I used to play on stage and play bass and sing vocals. You're just in this whole other place.
Yep. It's a good place to be.
It really is.
And you have to believe in it. You have to have faith.
I phrase it as my own way of phrasing it is, it's unnaturally the most natural thing you could ever do.
That's right. And I would offer this to our listeners and to you. I described that flow, that lovely flow, where you forget to be afraid. And I have come to understand that fear, and I have made a study of it in myself, in my own life, but fear is really something I have to maintain consciously. Although I may not realize I'm doing it, it's like a balls I have to keep juggling. It isn't going to happen on its own. So it requires my active participation. Whether I realize it, I'm doing it or not, I have to deliberately choose to think those thoughts that lead me to think I'm not good enough, or this won't work, or there's no market, or this has been written before, or whatever the thought is that causes all that fear. It doesn't happen without my deliberate action, whereas that flow that I'm in, where I forget to be afraid, where I'm not judging myself and I'm not comparing myself, I have come to understand that that is normalcy, that that is what real life actually feels like. And the tension and the anxiety that I experience outside of that flow is really more like the dream, the nightmare, and the flow is awakening. I used to think of it the other way around, but I've come to believe it's just the opposite, that reality is that flow. And the discomfort I feel out of it that I call normal is unreality.
And writer's block, you're right, writer's block is fear. I've thought about
that's exactly what it is.
It
yes,
absolutely.
Exactly.
And just for everything you've said has been so wonderful, Bill. Just the idea, and we can collaborate, but I've got to write that Kung Fu Pirate story.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you why I said that. I'll tell you why I said that. Because I had a friend who he wanted to write a book, and he's like, well, I have this idea, but, you know, I know it's not that good an idea. I said, well, what is it? He said, well, I want to write about Kung Fu Pirates. I said, great. He said, yeah, but this friend of mine said it's a stupid idea. And I said, well, forget your friend. If you think Kung Fu Pirates are cool, then teach us why Kung Fu Pirates are cool in the form of a story. You go write that story because you know why it's cool. The fact that he can't see it doesn't mean anything. It's the job of the writer to teach the world why what they think is cool is cool. You do that in the form of a story. But you have to connect to what is so cool about Kung Fu Pirates and write from that knowing. It doesn't matter whether it's Kung Fu Pirates or a memoir about your kids on the autism spectrum or a suspense novel or a coming of age. It's all the same. You think it's cool, go teach us why in the form of a story.
That is so true. You have to connect to your subject or whatever your topic is on the deepest level, or you won't
yes,
be
you do.
With it. You'll be afraid. That's when the fear creeps in. Bill, I want to ask you, if I can ask you a quick question.
Sure.
Something from my experience. After you're done with the final letter of something you're writing, what for you about it makes you say, and this is what mitigates the fear for me, still working on that because that's something we always work on, that makes you say this is a good story, essay, piece, book.
Oh, God. So how do I know it's a – well, that I think it's done and I'd like to share it with some other people?
Yep.
Well, I have the sense of having found something. Not made something, but found something. That's the best I can do. If I feel like I found something, then I've reached some kind of a end that is surprising to me and was probably what I set out to discover. But if I felt like I just constructed something, that feels a little artificial. I want to feel like I found something. That's how I know if the sentence is true and if the piece ends correctly. I found something. Does
that
make
so
sense?
True. It's a discovery for me as well. It really is. It's a journey.
Yeah.
And you're not sure where you're going to go, but you have to push the fear aside and start walking.
No, you do push the fear aside. This I'm going to correct your language because we must be impeccable because we're writers, Jeff. And so we don't push the fear aside. We set it down because it isn't real. It doesn't exist. All it is a thought. And so what we will do is stop thinking it. And when the thought stops being thought, an empty space appears, and into that empty space enters our curiosity, and then we enter the flow of the story. The fear was never real. It isn't real. It's all fairies and dragons and a future that isn't being lived. It's always a dream we're telling ourselves. We're like drawing pictures on the wall and looking at them and going, oh my God, where did that scary picture come from? We don't have to fight through it. We simply have to set it down. And then it just dissolves like any thought, a thought, not a reality, but a thought. But you know what the difference is? And this comes to my last tip, Jeff. I said I would give three, and this is my third, which is called contrast is your friend. The difference is this. When you think the thought, I'm not any good. When you think the thought, this is never going to be finished. When you think the thought, this has been done before. Why should I do it again? Any one of those thoughts that many writers will think at some point. When we think that, what we feel in our bodies at that moment is real. The thought is a dream. It's just a what if. It's a future that hasn't been led. But the feeling is real. In other words, that sensation in your body, that constriction, that feeling that we have named fear, that discomfort we have named fear is real. And that's why the thought can seem real, because we're really feeling afraid. You know, I can sit there and say, what if tomorrow a bomb drops? I've heard there are bombs and they could drop. And if they dropped, I'd be dead and everyone would be dead. And that would be awful. And the more I keep telling that story, the more afraid I feel. And I really do feel afraid, even though no bomb is coming. And right now I'm just sitting in my living room with my friends. But the fear is real, but the thought is not.
It is palpable. It is tangible.
Of course.
For me,
that's
Bill,
right.
I'll tell you what helped me so much in this last story that I just had published, very short fiction, mm-hmm. flash fiction, short story. For me, again, it's a tough exercise to do to try to tell a complete story in 250 words. That brings on the fear factor already. How am I going to do this? How am I going to make a beginning, a middle, and an end, make them connect, create characters, create a world?
Right.
And then kill them off. That was this last one with the loving you to death. But I found the more that my characters spoke to me, the more I started to relate to them, the more I listened to them, the fear completely dissipated.
You know why? Do you know why that was, Jeff? Because first you said, how am I going to do this? How is little Jeff going to pull off this stunt of writing a complete story in 250 words? And the fact is, you can't. But you and your imagination can. And so instead of you trying to do it all yourself, little Jeff can't. You can't. But you can turn it over to that other thing that can. And you opened yourself up to what can answer all those questions. in the form of your characters. This is, the characters are often the best way for a fiction writer in particular to stop thinking and start listening, because the characters will talk and the characters have their own personalities and their own drives. But it doesn't matter whether it's, I don't write fiction like that anymore, but I still have to turn myself over to the exact same thing from whence your characters come. And that's when I can, when I start thinking, how am I going to do this? I get afraid because I can't, not little me, but I can turn myself over to my imagination, to intelligence, which really doesn't belong to me, but which my imagination has access to. When I do that, then we can do that. You know, me plus whatever it is, whether it's the muse, whatever language.
And totally fearless.
Then you're fearless.
And in fear, because it's so expansive, it's limitless. And fear
doesn't care.
It really doesn't.
It fear believes in
it. It has nothing to do with it. They are so disparate.
And so what I want to leave, one of the things I want to leave my listeners with this, in terms of contrast being your friend, when you want, when you're writing, this is just a practical level, you know, the best way to show peace is to contrast it against war. The best way to show love is to contrast it against hate. The best way to show strength is to contrast it against weakness. Just as a flashlight is brighter, is clearer in darkness, so too the thing you want to show is best shown against its opposite. That's just a sort of crafty kind of thing. But when we write, you're going to always have two kinds of experiences. And one is going to be the discomfort of fear and the effort, or the effort of fear and the effortlessness of the flow. Or to put it another way, when you're trying to write, there's the effortless path, which is within the flow. And then there is the path that you might try to force, as Jeff was talking about, his characters taking over. Sometimes we try to force our characters to do things. Sometimes we try to force an idea. Whenever we do that, we experience effort. That feeling, that discomfort is there to guide us back to the effortlessness, exactly as the sense of imbalance is meant to guide the gymnast back to the feeling of balance. If you can look upon the discomfort that we have named a hard day writing, or it's not working, or even fear, if we can name that discomfort guidance, that effort just giving our inner guidance, giving us speaking in the only language it has available to get us back to the effortlessness that is the story we're trying to tell, then this writing can go much quicker. If we name the effort failure, we will have to recover every time we try to force something. So let contrast be your friend. Pay attention to how you're feeling, and don't name the effort your enemy. It's there to guide you back to the effortless word, the effortless sentence, the effortless character, the effortless ending. Let the contrast between effort and effortlessness be your friend. Let those be your two guiding experiences. It's all you've got, the feeling of effort and the feeling of effortlessness. So those are my three tools. Jeff and all the rest of my listeners, what do I want to say and have I said it? Those are your only two questions. Have a little faith. You got to believe in it, simply because you have to know that because you're interested in it, other people will want to read it. That's all you get. That's all Shakespeare got. That's all Emily Dickinson gets. That's all I got. That's all Jeff gets. That's all any of us get. And let contrast be your friend. That is your guidance system to the story you want to tell. Jeff, do you have any other questions before I bid adieu to our listeners?
Yes. Where can I read this?
Where can you read that? Actually,
where can I read what you've just inspired me?
There is a condensed version of it.
Didn't push my fear aside, but helped me to wrangle it. Where can I read this?
All right, here's what you can do. Actually, on my website, williamkenauer.com, under Craft and Confidence, I have a resources link that lists an article I wrote for Huffington Post called A Crash Course in Fearless Writing, where I condense all this. It's on Craft and Confidence Resources. I hope you can find it. Maybe I should put it on the front page. Of course, it's all in my book, Write Within Yourself. A author's companion. It's in different shapes and sizes there. You can get that as well. And hopefully my book, Magic and Mastery, an Everyday Guide to Fearless Writing, will be out in the next year or so. And hopefully that's where I go into it in even more depth. So, Jeff, thank you for calling in. And I want to thank all my listeners for listening in. I will be back with a traditional interview next week. When I talk to Philip Donnelly, the suspense writer, a returning guest. But until then, what do you got to do? You gotta write what you love, right? Anything to say before we go, Jeff?
Just reiterate, write what you love and let it flow.
That's right. All right, everybody, take it easy.
Bye-bye, Bill.